Welcome to a Fear the Boot bonus episode. And I believe this is actually the first one we've recorded in quite a while that did not involve drinking.
And I haven't had a drop in like 20 hours.
You know, it's actually
a long time.
I was actually about to say this is the first one we've recorded in a long time, period. But actually it's not, because I have another one in the hopper that we did when Chris was in town that I still need to release.
You were drunk during and forgot about.
No, I did remember it. It's just I have to go back and edit it, because we normally do not edit these bonus episodes at all, but I have two time notations here where Chad could not withhold his forked profane tongue.
Hey, I have something to say, and it needed to be said.
And it could only be said with the F word.
That's right.
Sometimes you have to use them.
That's right. It's the most versatile word in the English language.
There you go.
Just ask Dennis Leary.
Chad, if I was like one of those like psychic people that saw the world in all these vivid colors, every time you open your mouth, I'd see this black tar spewing upon my microphones. I'd probably have to start bagging them.
I'm eloquent.
I guess in a Tennessee Williams sort of way, you could maybe call yourself eloquent. So anyways, if this is your first time listening to Fear the Boot, we recommend you go and check out a different episode first, because these bonus episodes, they're just that. They're just extra little things we throw in because we're dorking around behind the mics. These aren't about gaming. These do not have any kind of quality control. And some people would even argue they don't really have any particular point. So
they don't at all.
Some people would be four people sitting behind microphones.
If this is your first time here, go check out a regular episode first. That gives you more of an idea of what we do here. And then if you like what you hear, come back and listen to this as well. Now, the initial purpose of this bonus episode, before we wreck it with tangents, is actually to introduce someone that we are bringing aboard as a full-time host, and also to help us out with the community, and we may find some other things to pawn off on him over time. For example, if we ever get horses, then he will probably have to slop the stables.
So be ready for that.
But that means we have horses, and so that's a win-win situation
awesome,
for everybody.
Can you imagine what it would be like mounted with lances and stuff?
Dan, if you will buy me a horse, I will definitely swap the stables.
I will keep that in mind. So let's go and introduce the new person. The guy we're bringing aboard is Mike.
Hello.
And actually, I say bringing aboard, we're kind of re-bringing him aboard, because when I started this episode, there were five people that I invited to join, and Mike was one of them.
Actually, you invited five people, and no one accepted, including myself.
Well, sort of. Tim and Kevin accepted, but then, of course, shortly thereafter, dropped off the show. Mm-hmm. You didn't bother to read the email.
It was so long.
And so you found out about it when, as the story goes, we were sitting at the Guitar Center and I'm buying all these mixers and microphones. You're like, what is all this for? I'm like, the podcast? What podcast? What are you talking about?
What's a podcast? It's 2005.
But anyway.
I never realized we were so
similar.
I guess
it was 06.
John and Adam were actually not on that invite list and came in later, actually originally as subs for Tim and Kevin, but did a great job, and Tim and Kevin disappeared from the show, so that was
they did a suck job.
We usurped, as is our modus operandi.
And Mike was also on that initial email, declined originally, but now after seeing our amazing success and also seeing the various
and how much money we're pulling in.
Yeah, the amount of money we're making.
He's jealous of all the sex I get because of this show.
Man.
All the guest appearances we did at this year's CMA. And all that just kind of came together, and Mike realized he'd made a horrible mistake.
I can't express with words how good a Swisher Sweet smokes off a $100 bill. Strawberry or regular, doesn't matter. Long as Mr. Benjamin's lighting me up.
Those things are nasty.
Have you had the banana ones yet?
No.
You are disgusting.
Never. That's beneath me. What are you talking about?
A man will smoke Swisher Sweets.
I smoke there only with class.
You know, the sad thing is I have given him quality, high quality, wonderful cigars.
And I've enjoyed them to the last.
And that you still...
But not exclusively. My love is too big to restrain with just you, honey.
Chad, you will be glad to know I have two Fuente Churchills at home in my cigar box.
Ooh.
I used to be into pipes, but Chad got me into cigars, and I'm now a cigar aficionado.
Excellent.
Not really,
I still
excellent.
Prefer the pipe.
I like my pipe as well.
Yeah, part of the reason I like
it got stolen.
Yeah.
It got stolen.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that story.
I'm not doing much better. I have my lighter. It's not stolen, but I lost my pipe lighter. So, and it's kind of hard to light a pipe just off like a regular cigarette lighter or
it is,
a match or whatever. I prefer the pipe, though, just because it's a little bit of a smoother smoke than a cigar. Mm-hmm. Most cigars, at least the ones I've had, have kind of a spice or a bite to them.
Yeah.
And even when you get one that's really smooth, it still has some of that in there, whereas a pipe really doesn't.
It has a nasty kind of a lingering thing that the pipes don't really have too much to.
Well, a cigar is definitely more intense, and it's easier to smoke, whereas a pipe has a smoother sort of taste to it, and it's a smoother, lighter smoke, but it's more involved. And I like both for different reasons.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, I'm going with the third option, which Dan actually has covered, and that is, of course, the hookah.
Oh,
it's
yes.
smooth, and it's very little work.
I've not tried the hookah yet.
The hookah is wonderful.
I smoked it among the Turks of Greece. The two cultures don't get along very well, but it was a little scary.
It depends on how good a care you take of it, because if you take pretty good care of it, they can actually take a couple minutes to set up and tear down.
Yeah.
And then after you wash them, you have to let them dry out and everything, so they can be
There's
kind of
a definite process, but... Oh, the reward of it is wonderful when smoking shisha.
Yeah, it's extremely smooth, extremely flavorful.
I remember when we first smoked it, we're like, is any smoke coming through? And as I was saying that, gouts of smoke are coming out of my mouth, and I'm tasting it as I exhale. I'm like, ooh, I like this.
Chad, I'm curious, before we get back to the subject at hand, which is
we haven't gotten into at all.
No.
That's all right.
How did you get into cigars originally, and... I know you're big into... What's the one you're big into?
Currently, it's Rocky Patel's, but Arturo Fuentes was before that. How I originally got into it, the very first cigar I smoked when I was probably like 18, 19 years old, is at a little gathering, not really a party, is at a gathering. A friend of mine, Tom, smoked cigars probably since he was four.
It
is that time.
Okay. Yeah, Tommy.
He always had cigars, and you know, I'm always looking to try new things and whatnot, especially enjoyable sort of quality related things and highbrow sort of stuff, I guess. And I'm like, hey Tom, do you mind if I smoke? And I don't smoke cigarettes, by the way. I've smoked one or two in my life, and they're disgusting. And I'm like, okay, Tom, do you mind if I try that? And Tom smokes Punch Rothschilds. Punch is a brand. Rothschild is a type of cigar. Punch has very heavy, thick, harsh smoke. It is a very in-your-face, punch-you-in-the-face kind of brand. And a Rothschild is a cigar that's shorter and fatter than any of the other kind of cigars. So that means the Rothschild in and of itself, how a cigar works, is... in your face and thick and heavy and all this sort of stuff. So it's
about like smoking a truck tire.
Yeah. Yeah, just about. Even with a really high quality cigar, it's like, it's pretty thick and pretty heavy. And that's how Tom liked them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey dude, can I buy one? Never smoked a cigar in my life. Didn't smoke cigarettes. And he hands me a Punch Rothschild. And I'm smoking it. I'm halfway through. It's thick. I'm just like, wow, this is intense. I don't know if I like this. And he's like, oh, dude, you're not inhaling, are you? Because with a cigar, you suck it into your mouth and blow it out. When you get it into your lungs, unless you're like some 60-year-old smoker with a, you know, thing going up to your neck and talking like this, then
And if you are one of those people, do we have a bit on this show for you?
Oh, God.
The entire rest of the day, I didn't actually throw up, but damn near. I mean, I was ill, and it was gross, and I had that nasty after cigar taste in my
His
mouth.
Cigars are disgusting.
And I swore them off. I just never wanted to touch them again. Years later, working in a store at Deerberg's with a friend of mine named Skip. Skip is, how old do you think he was, Adam? About 62, 63 years old?
Yeah, he was a nom.
Yeah, he was in the poop.
Yeah, so. He was a veteran. He got his truck that he... He was in a truck in a half track in Vietnam, sitting in the back, and the truck went over a vehicle landmine, blew the truck up, and this was one of those big heavy ones that had like a truck that had tank treads on the back, knocked the truck up several feet in the air, slammed it back down, you know, destroyed it, and he, since he was in the bed of the truck, gets launched like 20, 30, 40 feet into the air, this huge distance up in there. He says he remembers going straight up, and he kind of reaches the apex of the thing, looks down, and just thinks, oh, edited here for content. And then he falls.
Can't say that. I'm through the boot.
And then he hits the ground and he really screws up his ankle and breaks his leg and breaks some other things and whatnot. And, yeah.
Tangent off tangent.
Tangents off tangents.
And this guy from Vietnam.
We were talking about cigars. I told him my first cigar experience, and he's like, oh, no, oh, man, totally wrong cigar to go with. Dude, you got to go. Don't touch that. Okay, sorry. So anyway, he's like, no, you need to try this. And, you know, Arturo Fuente Hemingway, and it's, you know, much smoother, and you should get a Churchill, and it's nice, and blah, 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 and it's wonderful. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, dude, we'll make a day of it. There's a smoke shop down in South City. We'll go down there. We'll spend the day. We'll just chat, and I'll buy you a cigar, and it'll be all good. And so I went down there, and I got to say, this cigar was wonderful. The flavor, it was an Arturo Fuente, which is a brand. It was a Hemingway, which is sort of a brand within a brand. And it was a Churchill, which is, again, a type of cigar, which is actually Winston Churchill invented this type of cigar, which is very long and very wide. And it allows air to pass through.
And every time you light one up, a Nazi plane falls somewhere over England.
That's right.
So, John, how did you get into Swisher Sweets? I'm picturing a story that involved a 64 Impala, but I'll let you tell it.
Well, it's not quite as dramatic as that. I don't know. The same way I was drinking Natty Light when I was 17. It just happens organically. You go to high school.
Johnny G, please don't tell me that.
You go to a party.
Sorry to hear that.
And all of a sudden, you're drinking crappy beer and smoking Swisher Sweets.
This is the transmission of culture.
You know,
there's a guy on our forums named Francis, and he and I went to high school together. We went on a camping trip once, and he brought his Swisher Sweets.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't need this stupid piece thing on the end. That's for women. So I take it off, and I'm chewing the end of that.
That's gross. Yeah, my brother will do that as well with a good cigar. We don't have a little pokey thing, so instead of actually making a hole through which to smoke it, they'll just take a big old bite out of it and spit it out, drill sergeant style. And I'm like, oh, God.
If you're going to smoke nasty, cheap, over-the-counter cigars.
That's what I told him.
If you're going to do that, at least buy, I recommend a brand called Backwoods Cigars. They're not very expensive. They taste decent. They're made with Maduro tobacco, which is aged tobacco. So they're actually smoother than the stamping nails into your tongue of a Swisher Sweet.
And caviar is wasted on a pig. Even McDonald's is wasted on a pig. All a pig wants is his slop, hence the expression, as happy as a pig in slop.
Are you saying you're a pig?
Yes, I am. I'm saying with regards to smoking taste, I have absolutely none.
Piggy, try a Backwoods cigar. You'll like it. You'll even like how it looks because it's a big, black, wet cigar. And you know how cigars are like nice and trim and well made? This one's kind of bent and there's like stuff coming out the end.
I like it already.
Yeah. And it comes in a pouch, not a box.
Nice.
Ooh, a cigar in a pouch. How does that work?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Like I said, I mean, I'm not saying that these are the highest quality. These are something you can go down to Walgreens and say, I want that one. And they have a couple different flavors.
Well, Chad, Swisher Sweets will hold together. I mean, why do you need a pouch?
Go and buy one. Find out. These are moist cigars. I don't know even how to explain it. How does that even work? But they're good for cheap crap.
This isn't actually going to be an episode about Mike, is it?
No, okay. It's probably not.
Cigars are good.
Well, it's like I'm sitting here thinking about. It's like we need an episode to introduce Mike, but I don't know that at any point we have ever really stopped and specifically just for the sake of doing it, given biographical information on a single person. Sitting behind these mics are associated with the show.
No, I'm reasonably sure we haven't.
Yet, when people meet us and we don't know that they know who we are, and we start talking, and then they're like, oh, you're so-and-so, and you drink this kind of beer, and you say these kind of things, and you hold these opinions, and you're just like, I'm a little scared now.
Well, we're D-list internet celebrities, Chad. You've got to grow into this fame.
We've got our own t-shirts. Come on.
Can we move up from minor to D-list?
I think D-list is below minor. Minor is like C-list. No. B-list approaches relevant blogger of the few there are. And A-list is like, you know, Bill Gates. That's it.
I think an A-list internet celebrity is somebody who, like, gets on David Letterman or something like that.
Mm. Oh, as an internet celebrity? Yeah. Linus Torvald will never be on David Letterman, but he's an A-list internet celebrity.
Well, his goes beyond, because his goes beyond the internet.
Well, I'd give the A-listers, that'd be like the guys from Penny Arcade.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Gabe and Tycho.
They're kind of your A-lister, or like Will Wheaton. He's kind of an A-list internet celebrity.
He's an ensign.
I mean, yeah, what's he doing
here? How could you not?
Now?
He
wrote about how he loves Star Trek now, about he had hated it in this sort of I am not Spock, okay, I am Spock way, the same thing Nimoy did. He went to the he keeps a blog up, and people read it. Fark links it all the time. He has his own tag on Fark, just like walking.
I did see a website where he was kind of, forgive me, Will Wheaton, if you're listening, but kind of whining about how everybody hated him from Star Trek. Is that the website?
I think that's it. And I think he's since done an about face on that.
He's been running for a long time, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, his popularity has actually grown beyond Star Trek, and it has nothing to do with television.
Yeah, because he comments on a lot of stuff. Yeah. I read it a few times. I can't say
that. He was a Slashdot contributor, too.
But anyways, getting back to the A-listers, that's the people I'd call your A-list internet celebrities, the people that are really famous for something that you can't, it's really purely the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there is no Penny Arcade without the internet.
Right. Now, Mike, let's get down to an important question here. One of the questions we have gone around table and answered before on this show, what is your favorite beer?
My favorite beer?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, there's only one answer.
What is the one answer?
No.
What is your good answer? What is your favorite beer?
I don't really care. Bud Light's fine.
Good man. I didn't want to.
Now
you
we're the majority.
I know Chad's a Rolling Rock person, but no, I really don't care.
I actually picked up Franziskaner while I was in Europe, and I like it better than Bud Light. But since you can't find it here, it is effectively not unseated Bud Light. So good.
If I haven't drank
now,
any
it's 3-2.
If I haven't drank any in a long time, just regular old Budweiser.
I like regular old Budweiser. Yeah. I bought that last night. I buy it about one in every 3 or 4 times instead of Bud Light.
So now that you guys are a voting block, now what? What's the next step?
Now one of us becomes Speaker of the House, and we rewrite the budget. We sell the microphones for Bud Light, and we scream the podcast into that pencil sharpener. See how far we get.
Well, I guess drunk, that makes me so the minority whip of good beer.
I guess so. Well, I nominate Adam to be the new Nancy Pelosi.
He kind of looks like Nancy Pelosi.
Just a Thank little you. Bit.
Thank you.
Chad, you can be Mark Foley.
Great. Thanks.
We'll make Watson your page.
Oh, nice.
Watson is Dan's dog for any
anyone who don't know. Not, yeah.
Not his underage son.
No.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
That's Nambla at feartheboot.com.
Oh, no, that address does not and will not exist.
Yeah, it's actually part of the reason I also don't have a catch-all, so people are just making up strange things. That address does not exist. You will not reach any real person. Like, oh my gosh, I emailed Nambla at feartheboot.com and Dan responded.
Yes, if it's not one of our first names, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, speaking of which, Mike will now have an address you can reach him at, mike@feartheboot.com.
Just now you have to be incendiary so you can get mail.
If you wanted to try to mail second edition@feartheboot.com.
What do you hate?
Oh, God. There's a long list. I'm sure I'll be incendiary at some point.
Well, pick something. What's something,
well, wait.
Something gaming related you
what
really hate.
What is your most favorite role-playing game and your least favorite
All right. The goalposts.
I have a lot that I like and a lot that I dislike. I would say something that I hate is hard-ass gaming, like we talk about with Tim.
Define hard-ass gaming. Let's get really specific.
Okay, gaming when we have a gamer, well, or gamers, who get all into my stats and how badass I am, and I can do this better than you, and I want my extra plus one to this attribute or whatever. They're all about the numbers. They're all about how can I be bigger and better in this game. It just annoys the hell out of me. I can't deal with that. So I would say I hate that probably the worst.
It's irritating, but they're out there and they're useful because they can be very easily motivated and bring the whole rest of the party with them if that's what it takes.
Yeah. Right, we still, though, have not set the goalposts. We've painted maybe a team logo back in the end zone, but we have not set the goalposts.
All right.
So, Mike, what we have to have from you now is a specific title of a game that is your least favorite.
Rifts.
I can agree with
Respectable.
That.
Respectable.
But I've never had a good run of it. You know, I don't know if it's intrinsic to Rifts or if it's just in
Let's assume it is.
Okay.
So why do you not like Rifts?
There's just nothing going on. The game's just like this, I don't know,
this jumbled mass of nothing.
Yes, exactly. There's nothing to it. The plot is very thin.
A huge tangled weave.
It's completely imbalanced. It's just, it's totally messed up.
Okay, what is your favorite game?
Riffs.
This guy's a mystery.
Riffs have got a lot of good qualities besides the ones I listed that weren't qualities.
Well, I like some of Dan's creations. I like D&D. I like Shadowrun. I like Battletech. I'm easy to please.
Shadowrun and Battletech in the same breath. Ouch.
You guys don't like Shadowrun. I don't remember that.
Afflicted.
Huh. Dan played Shadowrun.
I do. I like Shadowrun. That's one of the great riffs that exists upon the show. Excuse the pun.
That's terrible.
The Shadowrun divide.
Yeah, I like Shadowrun. Chad and John hate Shadowrun. Adam sits somewhere in between and just looks at
Furry. Oh, now we're even keel.
Yes, now there's a balance. Nice.
Now we just need to bring on a sixth person that hates Bud Light. Oh, actually, I don't even hate Bud Light. So, yeah, Chad, you're just kind of screwed over there. It's definitely not my favorite beer, but I don't per se dislike it, so...
When I said before about disliking hard-ass gaming, I feel like I'm alienating probably 90% of our listeners.
See, that was the point.
No. Yeah. Episode 1, alienated 90%.
But, you know, it's just that they detract away from...
Anytime someone stops by our forums and the first thing out of the mouth is, yeah, I'm really into, like, combat-driven hack and slash, we typically know that they're about to plug something because there's no other reason that they would be on
Yeah,
the
they get the title spam bot.
Yeah.
Potential spam bot is your one post title on the forums.
I just hate to alienate everybody on my first day.
We've done it for you. Don't worry.
Okay, cool.
The shield is down. We're in the core.
Awesome. But yeah, Shadowrun, Battletech, D&D, I'm easy to please.
Do you believe that you can have a really poorly written game? Like Riffs, terrible conception, terrible ideas, terribly written, and without a whole lot of really rewriting of the rules or rewriting of the overall basic plot, can you still have a fun game playing that?
Absolutely. I've had two wonderful campaigns of Star Wars, and that's a prime example of that.
Mm-hmm. D6 or D20?
D6.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Old school.
And I was telling Dan this the other day. I hate Shadowrun as... obvious on our past shows. Yeah. And I have played in some really great Shadowrun games. I've had a lot of fun playing some Shadowrun games.
You may have as part of the reason that I don't like Riffs is because the few games that I've played, I didn't know how to warp the system to my advantage. Mm-hmm. I ended up playing characters that were just so woefully underpowered for absolutely everything that was going on that I didn't have very good experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how much that figures into it, because I got to be honest. I mean, sometimes I have trouble seeing beyond that an experience was bad versus the whole thing is bad.
So you're saying that if you had played Glitter Boys, you'd love Riffs?
I don't know I'd go that far, but I think if I played Glitter Boys, maybe I wouldn't quite have the opinions of it that I do.
Or perhaps if you had a DM who could more artfully streamline Riffs than the ones you've played, you wouldn't
think
so
kind of
ill
brush
of it.
Over the
or
rules,
if we
probably.
Didn't play in a game where one or two of us wanted to play, you know, historians, you know, deep character, but you're basically just a normal human being and you maybe have a pistol and just some basic body armor, but you have this really deep character and background. And you're playing with people who also have really deep characters, very deep backgrounds, well-written characters, but they are in 100-foot-tall powered armor with demon laser eyes.
Yeah, in the first, pretty much within 15 minutes of the first game, the guy in Glitter Boy armor, whose character consists of the name H.H. Penis, is going to destroy your character, and all your work will be out the door. He'll still be swirling in circles, tiddling unto himself, so...
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like an element. H2 Penis. A compound.
One of the noble gases.
Absolutely. Well, that's a noble solid, sir.
Gas.
You've got some serious, like, Mists of Ravenloft issues going on down there, if you get me.
Has a bad half-life, though. After a certain age, it just becomes inert, so.
Penis jokes? Check.
Yes.
All right, Mike, let's continue your job interview since this is what it's turning into. And which other podcasts have you worked on to date?
None.
Good.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In this chair doing this podcast.
Good, man.
What is a way that you've handled conflict in one of your past podcasts?
I need Jeremy in the groin and threw him downstairs.
Works for me.
He did actually resolve a conflict that way. There was a guy. Yeah, there was a guy that we were hanging out with, and he was being annoyed, and Mike literally threw him down a flight of stairs.
It didn't quite go down.
Damn.
That
I don't want to share your mic. No.
It was an accident. It was not. It didn't go down that way.
I didn't knee him in the groin at all.
You know, that's what I love about Mike. He's the most humble man I've ever met.
Yeah. Oh, it was nothing He's special. I it just threw him down a stairwell. You know, you would have done it too.
Kneeing him in the groin was not an accident, but throwing him down the stairs was an accident.
That was just blind rage. It wasn't a malevolent action.
It was. We were all sitting there talking, just blah, 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 about nothing in particular. There's this lull in the conversation. You know how it is, the every 7 minutes thing? There's this lull in the conversation. No one's saying anything. And Mike just turns around, bam, nails him right in the garage.
Damn.
And he drops to the ground. He's rolling all over the floor.
We had issues, Jeremy and I. So.
Weren't you guys roommates?
No.
Hmm.
Oh,
but anyway, that's how I resolve conflict, to answer your question.
So, Mike, 1 degree away of nerdiness from tabletop role-playing games, what's your hobby? Do you play card games? Do you play minis? What you got?
Yeah, I do have pretty much a whole company of Ultramarines in Warhammer 40K. I know you guys love it, but yeah.
I played GW back in the day.
Yep.
Won't hold it against you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially not for being Space Marines, since they're the one viable army in Warhammer 40,000.
I still like Necromunda. But...
Well, that's how do you define viable? Viable is in like...
Can beat Space Marines.
Oh, there's plenty. Oh. There's plenty.
Yeah.
Tau, Necron.
No, just like Magic.
Brand new.
Yeah, exactly.
We've changed these things. All
Every
right.
new army ramps up the power level from the previous
Eldar
ones.
Can, if you play them right.
I had Eldar. I must not have been able to play them right, because Space Marines wiped my butt.
Eldar are very specialized.
I see.
Yeah, which was the change. In the second edition, the Eldar were just outlandishly powerful. So
okay.
Then they kind of nerfed them back into uselessness. And...
I think I played it that phase.
Chaos could certainly give Space Marines a run for their
money. Okay, I'll give you that. But that's because they are Space Marines.
Well,
they're okay. Space Marines with Satan magic.
Yeah, demonically possessed or whatever. Yeah.
So, Mike, what are 3 important skills you feel you bring to this podcast? Good.
Dead air. We need Dead more air. Of that. Thanks.
Okay.
Yes, you're welcome.
He can hold his tongue. That's good. We don't have a lot of that around here.
No.
What else do you bring? I'll give you your second one. He has a beard. What's the third one?
I do have a beard. I'm bringing more facial hair to the show.
Yep. Yeah.
So right now we have 2 beards, 2 5 o'clock shadows, and 1 sort of scrub.
Hey, man, this is 3-4 weeks worth of work.
Oh, Jesus. This and is 3-4 hours.
Too. He's sitting there going,
every spare moment of the day, I am pushing as hard as I can.
Oh, God. I shaved just early this afternoon before I went off to run a D&D game. GM's got to look pretty, you know.
That's right.
The beard's new. I don't know if it's going to stay. It's only been around for
All right,
a couple months.
We've given you 2, so what's your 3rd skill that you bring to the show?
I have no idea. I have many skills.
I'll give you a hint. Socratic ignorance, I said sexual prowess.
There you go. Sexual prowess. We'll go with that.
I'll buy it. You're hired.
You know, I don't think I've ever interviewed any of you guys this way, so I think I'm probably going to have to lay off the entire staff and start from scratch.
Oh,
and,
God.
We're going to have to re-go through the interview process now that show's under...
It's an officer purge.
Now the show's under new management, now that we've been bought by General Electric like everything else has, I'm going to have to re-interview all you guys.
So, Dan, what's 3 skills you bring to the show?
Let's see.
Mike 1, Mike 2, and the mixer.
Okay. Yeah, pocketbook.
1 is I have a credit card and I'm completely irresponsible.
Excellent.
That's 2.
Nice.
That is 2.
No, that was a skill and a virtue.
Okay.
I'll let you decide which was which.
All right.
Secondly, and this should have been how you answered the correct answer to how I have handled conflict in the past. This is also one of my skills and what you should have answered, Mike. I can mute Chad's mic.
Excellent.
Very
cool.
Very useful.
Mm-hmm.
And 3rd, I can express myself without profanity.
Hmm.
Chad.
I'm going
to
struggle.
You know, Will Smith doesn't need to cuss to sell records.
But I do.
But I do.
What? FM and FU too.
Yeah. 3 out of 5 of us. That's bad.
All right. I think that's about enough for this mic introduction episode. So.
Well, nice to meet you all.